Hi guys, welcome back to The Glam Chemist, and we're back with Ariana Seda from Essentials Lab, and she's going to share with us a couple of topics, one of them being the recent misconceptions in a lot of formulation and development in beauty and skincare from a formulation chemist perspective, and the other is giving us a full update on what's going on for Essentials for this holiday season. So she's got a lot of ideas coming down the pipeline and a lot of new products for you guys to try, so we're going to get started and chat a little bit about Chem and a little bit about beauty. So thanks for coming back, Ariel.
Yeah, thanks for having me back. I'm really excited to talk about this.
Yeah, and your first episode was really well received, so I'm excited to have you back. I think people realize how friendly we are and how much work we've put into this industry. So I know we were chatting a little bit about some of the articles that have been coming out and a lot of kind of the topics that have been buzzing around R&D folks and chem folks in this space. So I just wanted to ask you, like, what do you think makes a truly good product?
It's always going to be changing. And this is probably one of the revelations that I've come across, is that you have to keep changing what your idea of what the best product is out there, because there's always going to be new research. Your best products are going to have the best ingredients, but they're also going to be effective and safe. Other good products are going to keep in mind, like, what is the packaging? Is it recyclable? Is it, you know, worth your while? Is it a luxurious feeling from the customer? So keeping all those in mind, there's definitely from not just a consumer side of things, but also from a chemist side of things, there are many misconceptions out there. And I think that I've spoke before on the misconceptions that we have as customers. But now it is really within our industry as chemists. I think it's really important to talk about it. Chemists need to be constantly researching. There was a great webinar that came out from the Society of Cosmetic Chemists that I watched a little bit on. I actually didn't get to finish it yet. But it was talking about pegylated products and 1,4-dioxane. 1,4-dioxane is a huge, red flag when it comes to PEG products. And that's why, even with Essentials, I have in the past, taken out pegylated products. But on the other side, most chemists have kept PEG products in their formulas because they're very effective. They keep your formulas together. They create a better feel for your product. It's just very easy to use.
You know, I have to remember that, you know, the raw material supplier industry is an industry and they have to make their money, but it is kind of shitty to know that, you know, as a consumer and as a developer, that you could be purchasing raw material and further down the line only learn that that material shouldn't have been used or shouldn't have been used at a certain level or is now getting regulated in some way. So yeah, I appreciate all of those things, but it is kind of hard to explain to consumers where, you know, I think right now everyone's up in arms about simple things. Like they don't want to see dimethicone in a formula. Fair. But it doesn't mean that everything that ends in cone shouldn't be in a formula. You know, like certain things that I think they're educated enough, but like there's so many more issues that we should be addressing that have nothing to do with these simple raw materials that have whatever function that they may have, and more with like regulatory things and the overall byproduct of either making or heating or compounding something, which that tends to have a greater long-term effect and is probably more of a concern than whether or not you have sulfates and silicones in your formula. Not to like mock anyone, but yes.
Like, advice to a consumer is to look a little bit further into the brand and see if you can trust them. They, I'm sure they have like a contact us or an email mm-hmm. address that you can always reach out to. Especially when it comes to like ingredients and chemicals, they're going to hop on that pretty fast. Mm-hmm. But also when you start to make judgments about ingredients, especially as a consumer, again, look into why you feel that way about the ingredient.
Yeah.
You can't just look at a, let's say, oh, okay. Yeah. I don't like silicones. I don't like dimethicone. Okay. Why don't you like it? Mm-hmm. Like, do you understand like what the actual implications are? Is that the same for every silicone? Kind of how we said, like every yeah. silicone is not made equally. Even the same dimethicone is not made equally. Mm-hmm. It could be processed different. So I think it's really important that our consumers, you know, dive a little bit deeper into the why they feel a way about something. Mm-hmm. But then now also same thing with chemists. I think even for me right now, like I'm starting to lose a little bit of that nomenclature, completely technical side, talking about, you know, the bonds, unsaturated, mm-hmm. you know, all that stuff. But I think we still have a duty as chemists to look a little bit further and keep ourselves updated, because, you know, like on Essentials, you know, page right now, we do talk about how we don't use PEG products, mm-hmm. but now we are going to start using PEG products, but they are going to be emulsifiers that are sourced from a supplier that are going to be, you know, safe.
Gotcha. I mean, that's a good thing too, is I've seen so many beauty brands be so transparent about their ingredients and how they source them and why they use what they use, and even provide educational links and resources. And I think that that's been helpful even on my end as a healthy reminder, but also having consumers look at a very clear definition of why the brand is the way it is. And it actually helps people turn over to the brand even more, because now they like, oh, I can trust these folks. They're really honest with me. They're not hiding anything. I also don't want people to think that in any form of chemistry or science, there's anything to hide.
Yeah. It's funny because phenoxyethanol was the like go-to safer and effective preservative
mm-hmm.
when you were trying to take out parabens and all the like sitmet and all that kind of stuff. Now, I would say about a year ago, I was talking with my group of friends, you know, the ones that all work at like the high-end brands, and they're like,
all our STEM friends.
Yeah. And they're like, phenoxy's out. I go, what?
Since when?
They're like, yeah. It's gone. It's done. It's killed. It's canceled. And I'm like, okay. Like, why? And mm-hmm. they're like, well, now like consumers are starting to get wind that like phenoxy ethanol is like, isn't good for you. I'm like, no preservative is good for you, but like, is it effective? And like, is it going to give you cancer? Even like how we've talked about parabens a million times. Parabens, there was like, you know, the yeah. studies that came out that were skewed. And like, this is, I know it's a conspiracy theory within our industry, but yeah. like, it is like conspirized. I don't know if that's the right word. That like, there are companies that will come out with these studies that mm-hmm. skew their data or create these kind of like results that mm-hmm. would kind of reflect that parabens are bad or like a certain ingredient is no longer good for you, just so that the raw material supplier can come out with a new ingredient that would replace. Oh, that
then I take it back. Maybe some science is sketchy.
So that's where like
yeah,
I would say that there's like some, even from like the formulation side, like I've worked for some like really great brands, and it's kind of a little discouraging when we're making a batch in manufacturing, mm-hmm. something doesn't go right in the scale up, and we're just pouring a whole different ingredient that's not even in the ingredient list into the formula that's on the, like, you know, the mixer, because mm-hmm. they want to save the batch so badly instead of like throwing it all out because it couldn't be saved. And
I think there's a big, like, yeah, whoa. There's a big difference between like corporate beauty and independent beauty. Mm-hmm. I think we both have worked in corporate beauty for enough to know that that usually is, those kind of decisions are usually left to folks who are not necessarily the formulator and are not necessarily the folks who you probably should go to. What am I trying to say? Those decisions are made by people that didn't develop the formula and may or may not exactly know how the formula is supposed to work and may or may not be on as educated on the regulations of cosmetics and consumer goods. That happens often enough, but it's as simple as like a kitchen staff. The one thing that there's more respected in a kitchen staff is that the sous chef will never adjust the formula for the chef. And unfortunately in our industry, depending on who owns the company or who is the manufacturer, they will bypass the chef's ingredients and do a different prep. If I can use that analogy, there's a lot more respect on the kitchen, in the kitchen and in that kind of line than a production line for cosmetics, which is a whole other conversation that I think we can like spend hours on. Yeah. Unfortunately. Yeah. That's a whole other thing. When it comes to the misconceptions for consumers, it's, and back to what you said, you have to remember that this is a business and everything is a marketing pitch. We in R&D do our best to provide, to meet all of the product qualifications that you want in a formula and source everything as ethically as we can based on the regulation at the time and within the means and within the price range. All of those things need to be considered when we say these things. But the last bit of it, what you get presented on the box and on the bottle and in the commercials, is a huge creative and marketing team working with whatever we have to promote this product and get you to purchase. That sometimes can counteract any research that we've done in the lab, or it can enhance and promote any research that we've done in the lab. So it's like a double-edged sword sometimes. When it comes to these, like, I feel like it comes from Facebook groups, because I can't imagine who the hell is thinking about raw materials as much. And I mean, not to be judgy, but like, it has to be like stroller mom somewhere, like saying, I don't want this and around my children, or I have no idea. Yeah. I can't even begin to understand.
Well, now like people like Kourtney Kardashian are like putting their two cents in with the EWG. And I think as,
we can have a whole other conversation about EWG.
Like, they their data is not, like, I wouldn't say it's like your best resource. And that was like the first thing that my professors told me.
So given, okay, with that being said, what advice would you give to someone to find the right resource? If that's not the right resource, if, you know, my favorite celebrity promoter influencer is not the person I should be trusting, or maybe not fully trusting. If Google's first hit is EWG, what should I be looking for as a consumer to make me feel confident in purchasing my products?
That's a tough one, because my brain automatically goes to, you know, using UL Prospector, but that is only for people in the industry. Mm-hmm. But that's more of, looking to see what those ingredients are. So maybe that's not the best choice anyway. Google Scholar will usually have some really great articles. It's just digging a little bit deeper. You're not always going to find the answer right away, right in front of you. And I think that's why EWG is so popular, because they do find these articles that help support their data and reasoning as to why they do this, but they could be picking and choosing some of these articles and not digging a little bit further. So mm-hmm. it's your responsibility to do that extra digging and maybe go click on the article at the bottom that the EWG is, you know, using for their data.
So with that question, what are some of your favorite brands that do a really good job of like disclosing, obviously essentials, because it's literally only the essentials, and yes. you share a lot of educational things on your social media, but what other brands do you think do a good job of explaining the ingredients that they use?
That's tough because most of them are not explaining the not so fun ingredients.
Oh, they like just go for the actives and the,
yeah, they're like
the call outs.
Hyaluronic acid is great. And they might touch base on like glycerin. But most of them will not talk about these other functional ingredients that yeah. are doing something for your formula, like holding it together, thickening the formula,
adding color,
preservative, gotcha. All that kind of stuff.
So what do you, go ahead, sorry.
No, that's, yeah.
What do you hope, like of these misconceptions, what do you hope consumers will start doing? Like,
again, like looking a little bit further and asking the brands.
Like themselves.
Yeah. Asking the brands. Yourself.
Calling them out, basically. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Say like, hey, like I see that you have like a PEG product in your formula. Like, would you be able to send me an SDS sheet, or would you be able to tell me like if it's, you know, sourced at a place where it's of a higher quality? Mm-hmm. It's just, yeah, asking a little bit more, asking for the details. I would say in general, the one place that I've noticed that does a decent job is Lush, because you can literally click on the products on the ingredient list. I just think it's kind of funny. I haven't been on there recently, it was a few years ago, but I noticed some of the products that aren't as great for your skin. Like, I wouldn't say like they're horrible, but some that are just not as great, they wouldn't have a lot of information on it when you clicked on it.
Yeah. I mean, I think we live in a world of misconceptions, and I think we live in a very strange world of misinformation right now. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that'll change. And I think that in what you said, it just takes truly educated consumers to go and do their due diligence. And if you're going to have an opposition to something, just make sure that you've gone through the process of like actually debunking it. And, you know, and don't blame us.
Right. But even from a chemist perspective, and this is like coming from, you know, personal experience being out of the lab for a year. Mm-hmm. When you're out of the lab, you're not constantly looking at new stuff every single day or working with the same products every single day. Mm-hmm. You have to take the time to keep up. Even people that do work in the lab every day, they aren't going to some of these seminars or symposiums where they're like finding the new research. They're not looking at these articles or some of our magazines that are well trusted in the industry. You have to take the time mm-hmm. to do your research and keep up to date.
Yeah, I agree. Awesome. And with that, I think we've covered quite a bit about how we feel about, you know, consumer misconception of the products and raw materials that we use, and, you know, trying our potential solutions to this problem. Now I'm really, really excited to hear about what's going on with essentials. So the last time we spoke to you was earlier in the summer, and I think our listeners heard about it in the fall. But since then, you have had a couple of new updates.
Yes.
I mean, I'm going to let you talk, but like there's a lot going on at Essentials. I would love to hear more.
Yeah. I mean, obviously in Grand Rapids, we have our facial spa and that's doing, you know, great. We have people come in, they actually get to try our products. And we were just talking about this. It's like once people start to try essentials products, they're like, oh my gosh, like, why have I been like holding out for so long?
They're so good.
Yeah. So, you know, what we have so far is really great. We did come out with the Rescue Lip treatment. It's like a lip mask, but I had a lot of like great feedback.
Lip treatment came out.
Yeah.
Which was great.
And now we are really excited about launching our lip plumper. Nice. It's going to be launched for the holiday season.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just super excited. Again, like, you know, things are shifting with how we do things, how we develop our products and our formulas, but we're still staying true to our values of, you know, giving you only the essentials, you know, mm-hmm. no nonsense ingredients, and giving you something that's actually going to work. We don't want you to be using skincare just because our packaging looks cute. I get so many. Yeah, it's a great plus. You want it to feel luxurious, but like our main goal is to help get everyone on a better skin journey and like, you know, just feel good looking in the mirror. Yeah.
And I mean, yeah. I can vouch for that. Not just as your friend, but as a consumer of all these things, like, well, I'm replanting my cleanser a lot more because I have thieves in the house that like the product too. So that's great. But like the overall value of everything that you have is exceptional because the product itself, I love to use, like the Do You is my favorite. I actually have two of them. I keep looking over, I have two of them sitting on my sill and a replacement cloud just in case, but I'm hiding it because people steal.
Right.
But the value of these products is like the amount of like good stuff in it.
Yeah.
I'm impressed by it as a chemist and also as a consumer. It's very like exactly that. Only the essentials. There's not a lot of things to oppose to. So I'm very grateful for your brand. And it does provide a nice confidence boost to see your skin and feel it. And basically, I think that the thing I've enjoyed the most is a reformation. It's changed mm-hmm. the way I feel about my skin. I used to have like, I mean, I'm mixed. Like I have, and my father's very dark skinned and my mother's very light skinned. Mm-hmm. And I have like what looks like hyperpigmentation, but to me, it's just like the blotchiness of a poor mix. Like someone messed up the batch.
No way.
And so most of my life, like my skin has always been very odd tones, especially in the summer when I get a little bit of color. Like I always find myself having like very light spots and very dark spots. And what reformation has done is helped me kind of clear that out and allowed my skin. So my makeup just sets so much nicer. My foundation just sets so much nicer. I'm wearing a lot less concealer because I'm not covering as much of my skin up because reformation has done a good job of reforming my skin and bringing my face back to a place that it's never been. Actually not bringing it back. It's literally bringing it to a place it's never been. So I'm a big fan of all of your products. I love how simple they are. They all are from a chemist perspective. I've switched over. There's literally, I have six bottles of essentials that I'm staring at right now. So I'm really excited to see what else comes of essentials and I can't rave about it enough.
Thank you. Bye.
Take the chemists that formulated your favorite products and then they make their own products. And that's what Essentials Lab is. Yeah, it's just simple.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, just grab the chemists from your favorite place and let them have fun in the lab and throw some shit together. And all of a sudden you have this wonderful line of skincare that is just fucking right.
It's just right.
Well, thank you for being back here and thank you for letting me have a 15-minute rant about your brand.
Thank you.
And I love having you here because I love chatting with you and it was cool to get like a geeky conversation out of you. We don't really talk about the industry as much as we used to. So I'm really excited to like pick your brain about stuff like that. And I guess tell everyone where to find you and what's going on. And anything else that we should know before we let you go?
You can go to Essentials, Essentials Lab, lab.com. And that's where you can find all of our products. You can also follow us on Instagram, Essentials Lab. We also have our Essentials Facial Lab account as well. That's where your Essentials Lab account, you're going to get the most information out of us. But yeah, contact us through there and we'll be happy to share as much information as possible about the beauty industry, being a chemist, all that good stuff. Anything that you want to ask us, feel free.
Awesome. Well, thanks for being a part of it again. And I hope to have you back on, and God only knows what we'll talk about. Yes.
All right. There's always something.
Yeah. Thanks, Ariel. Hey guys, welcome back to The Glam Chemist. This is your host, Genesis Velasquez, and you've just heard from Ariel Naceda, the owner and founder of Essentials Lab. Now that you've heard a little bit about Essentials Lab and how excited I am about this new launch that Ariel is working on with her team, I wanted to extend a promo to you guys. I know the holidays are coming up, and the best thing that you can do is offer your family and friends some skincare. Whether it's a quick day at the facial lab if you're in the Grand Rapids area, or if you want to just send them home with some good products. I want you guys to check out the Essentials Lab website and use promo code Genesis, G-E-N-E-S-I-S, for a discounted offer.